You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Joshua 11 tonight. Joshua 11. It is my prayer on behalf of my wife and I that you all know how much we respect you, and we love you, we appreciate you. I think you know, you've heard me say it enough, that we in the spring and the summer and early fall, we just take a ride every night, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and especially different areas. We go by your houses in this area and this area over here and around here. We try to pray for you, think about you, we talk about you, and other places as we drive. God's given us a good church. Amen. And you come from many distances. You come from Watsonville faithfully, and from Gilroy and Morgan Hill and San Jose and all the cities in the valley here, in Castro Valley and Union City and Fremont and up the peninsula and wherever you're coming from. What a great, great church. And I love you dearly. You know, I never prepared, you know this. I went to Bible college, but I never prepared to be a pastor because I felt like God was calling me. I just didn't feel like God could use someone like me. And so I've not brought any talent. So if you think this is because of my doing, you're sorely disappointed. I didn't do this. But I have tried to yield myself to God, and you have too. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, God's eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them that love him. I think we've been so blessed because I truly believe I pastor good people that love God. And I believe you've allowed him to have the preeminence. And I'm so thankful. You're going to need this message tonight. I need it. I have discovered that all my preacher friends, I did a brief video this morning, do it every Sunday morning, I don't know if you watch it, but I've discovered that all my preacher friends that are home with the Lord, that pastored amazing churches, the last days, the latter years of their life became the hardest days. And I could tell you from life, and you people that are in this room that have lived longer and as long as I have, can tell you it doesn't get easier, it gets harder. But serving God gets better. Tonight, I don't ever want you to, if I look down from heaven one day, if the Lord tarries and you live on, I hope that you always have courage. Courage is of utmost importance. You can never let anything conquer you. I don't care if it's your health, your finances, your marriage, and it's going to be a difficult one to say, but if one of you mate, if my wife goes first, or if I go first before the rapture, it's going to be hard. Life will be turned upside down, but I don't want anything to conquer me. I believe that the longer you stay at a church, people turn and they accuse and they attack and they do. That's just part of it. All my preacher buddies that are home with the Lord faced it. Everyone did. I was close. I brought it to the pastor's conference, a big file this long of letters from John Rice, Lester Roloff, Jack Hiles, Lee Robertson, Tom Malone, Bobby Robertson, Raymond Hancock, personal letters, kind letters. They all preached here. Harold Seitler, just great things. But everyone, the last years of their ministry was the hardest. I think of how Dr. Raymond Hancock preached right here. I believe I'll just go on anyway. Gets hard. I just believe I'll go on. Dr. Harold Seitler, pastor of the Great Tabernacle Baptist in Greenville, South Carolina, and he was talking to Bobby Robertson. He was a big man. And Brother Seitler would always drive that big old Cadillac, and had his arm on the door. Brother Bobby was on the other side of the Cadillac door, and they were talking. And he said, "Brother, talking about, got a lot of difficult things in our church we're facing. A lot of difficult." It was a fired up church, a soul winning church, a happy church, an old fashioned choir, and good music. And he said, "But you know, Bobby, I'm just going to believe I'm going to serve God right here till I die." Got in the car, shut the door, and drove off. Some of my friends that I've mentioned and others as well that I did not mention had the hardest days were their last days. You're going to hit hard times. You're going to experience hard times. Last week on Sunday night, I spoke to you from Goliath, David and Goliath. There will be battles. There will be battles. I'm not coming back after battles tonight. We know there's going to be battles. We know this year the doctor's going to say cancer. We've had many funerals this year already. We do know that that's going to happen. We do know that nursing homes are going to happen this year. We do know that there's going to be this and that. You can fill in the blank. I do know that. It happens all the time here. There's so many people that come. We have people that are home that are watching this service, that are suffering physically. We have cancer at home and Parkinson at home and all these other diseases that folks are struggling with right now. But I'm not speaking about battles tonight. I want to read a very unusual scripture. You probably never heard a message from this. But I want you to notice in chapter 11, "And it came to pass," that's not my message, but I got them all underlined in my Bible. Every time it says "it came to pass," I underline it. Because it always comes to pass. It's always going to work out. You either die and go to heaven, or you get healed and stay down. It always works out. We get such high blood pressure over things we don't need to be worrying about. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard those things. Now, what things? Well, you go up to chapter number 10. Joshua, verse 40, smote the country of the hills. Verse 41, Joshua smote them from Kadesh Barnea. And the Bible says, and all these kings, don't forget that statement, all these kings and their land did Joshua take at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And Joshua returned. So now we pick it up. The other lands are talking about this. He's coming after us. David's coming after us. Look what the Bible says. And it said, when Jabin, the king of Hazor, heard those things, and he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and he said to Shimeon, Ron, the king of Ashroth, that the kings that were on the north of the mountains and the plain of Chinneroth and the valley of the borders of Dor on the west, and the Canaanites and the Hamorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the mountains and the Hivites, all of those, they got together. And when they went out, all their hosts with them, much even of the sand upon the sea, the shore, the horses and chariots, very many. Battles are a way of life. I think of our Lord, his greatest battle was at the end of his life. It was called Calvary. He had to go to Calvary. And I can promise you, it gets more difficult, not easier. I think of Stephen, Deacon Stephen. We just had a deacon representing the 39 deacons in this church. Deacon Stephen's hardest battle was the last battle, when they stoned him for being a godly deacon and killed him. And they laid his clothes at the Apostle Paul's feet, who was not yet the apostle. The Apostle Paul's end of his journey was the most difficult. He had Demas on the crusade with him at Colossae. And 2 years later, he wanted Demas to go on the next journey with him. And the Bible says, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Paul is about ready. He's in prison. His head is going to be severed from his body. When he needed Demas, His right-hand man, Demas, was gone. The end of the journey was difficult. That's why I said the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, and then days later, his head was severed at the guillotine. The latter part of the journey, he gave himself to that church of Galatia. He won him to Christ. He said, you would have plucked your eyes out for me at one time. And now have I become your enemy that I tell you the truth? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you to another gospel, which is not another. There'll be some which pervert the gospel. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should believe a lie? These people had won. The Corinthian church made fun of them. The Colossian church, all of these that he poured his life in. The latter part of the journey was the hardest. Most difficult, I think, of all the disciples. The latter part was the most difficult. I think of the prophets, Jeremiah in jail. The latter part was the hardest. I think of Isaiah, who preached for 62 years to the people and zero success. He said, you're sick from the head of your head to the sole of your feet. You people are such wicked people. Never had success. Ezekiel never had success. Hosea never had success. And the hard days, you have to look back and say, did I waste my life? Did I do it wrong? What was wrong with me? Battles are a way of life. Amen. But I don't want to speak about battles. I want to speak about victories. We have a song that says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss from victory unto. I'm preaching tonight from victory unto victory. You're going to have battles, take it to the bank. You're going to have battles, but victory under victory. I'm on the winning side. I purposed several years ago, there was times I've been so despondent. In 2006, we moved in this building. I was going through a battle at that time. I didn't tell you about it until just a few years ago. I knew when we moved in here, I got so scared of this big building. Frightened to death. I went a year with the touch of God on my life, I believe, and preaching and having touch with God. And I'd walk the streets at night. My wife eventually said, I don't like you out walking the streets out here in this River Mark area. I'd walk at 1 o'clock, at 2 o'clock. In the wintertime, it got so cold, I'd walk into Safeway where it was open 24 hours a day, the grocery store, and I'd walk in there, try to get warm and just go out and pray. I fasted. I'd lay on the garage floor in our garage and pray and beg God because I knew I could not pastor this church. I knew God was done with me. And I begin to say things like, Lord, that you should have chosen someone else. You know, the thing that kept me here was the debt. Because I couldn't build this with you and then walk out on you. I wasn't upset with you. I wasn't upset with God. I was upset with me. Why did I do this? And I tried to undo in doubt what we did by faith. And a few years later, I went through a little struggle again just with myself. Not over sin, just me. Several years ago, I decided I don't want anything to conquer me. And 2 years ago, I made a commitment, come what may. I don't care what comes. I don't care what difficulty. By the grace of God, I don't want to live and die in defeat and discouragement and in loneliness and sadness and nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat some worms, big, fat, juicy ones, long, skinny, slimy ones, itchy, bitchy, fuzzy, wuzzy worms. I'm not going to live in a pity party. I refuse to. I don't know all that's going on with the Democrats or Republicans in the country, but I tell you what, a man, he missed a bullet and blew his head off. He missed it by, I believe, God guided the bullet. Something happened there, spared his life. But I tell you what, I love the courage. The man's been sued and sued, and I don't know how much of it's right. I don't know how much he's done wrong, but he sued and he sued and he sued, and they made up a story called Russian collusion. and the man's running for Senate. Schiff was the man with Hillary that made that whole story. It was a lie. Was it the truth? And I would tell you, he kept fighting and fighting. I like that courage.
Amen.
Have so many cowards today. I think I quit. I can't go on. How much more trouble can I take? From victory unto victory. I die this week, I die next month, I die next year, whatever it might be, and you're left here. I sure hope you understand there's going to be battle after battle that I preached last week, but there's going to be, up to you, victory unto victory. I want you to see this in closing. You say, in closing? Don't put your shoes on yet. That's just a play on words. In Joshua, it was one victory after another. 24 chapters. It first started chapter 6 with Jericho. God said, okay, here's how we're going to win this battle. Walk around the city. Don't talk. And after 7 days, God gave Jericho. They said, now go get Ai. And it was a different way. And they stumbled. They fell. And they failed. And 36 men died because Achan stole and took the accursed thing. But they went back and got Ai. So now they got Jericho, and now they got Ai, and then they got Shechem, and then they got Gilgal, and then they got and one city after another city after another city after another city, victory unto victory.
Praise
Lord. Don't have one victory. Say, well, we won. Now we're just going to sort of live with all the defeats of life. I want you to see the coalition of kings. These kings said the only thing we can do, because he's been smiting all these people. In verse 5, and when all these kings met together, they became a coalition of kings. They came and pitched together by the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. You know, I don't know what's going to be a coalition against you. God forbid, I don't want it to happen, because my goal is to try to bring families together. But it might be your own family. It might be your sister or your brother or your uncle or your cousin or your aunt or your uncle or your mom or your dad or your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law. Don't get into family fights. But once, all of a sudden, I've seen families sue one another. I've seen families get mad at one another. I've seen families get to the point they won't talk. And I said, how long? Years. Haven't talked to them. I've seen parents where they have children, and their children have children, and the daughter-in-law or the son-in-law, the father, or the son or the daughter said, you cannot see your grandkids. And it's been years. All over this country, everywhere I go, we want to see our grandkids. Us churches, on a Tuesday night, a lot of times, if you have a prayer request, I'll not put you on a mailing list. I'll not ask you for money. Just put your prayer, if you don't want to put your name there, but give me the prayer request. I promise I'll pray for it for 30 days. You know, it's so many times, it's all about the family. My husband hates God. My wife walked out. Our kids won't talk to us. My grandson's 28 years of age. He's had 5 girls. All 5 had a baby. He's never been married. Pray for my grandson. He's a dope addict. He grew up in the Christian school, but he turned to drugs. You'd be shocked at all the requests, all the sorrows are with people nationwide. But I want you to know, these people are making a coalition. They'll be... It is so sad. I see our boys that are in the ministry, are graduating from school. There are going to be people that stand against that preacher. You know, Brother Sloan, you're going to go work with our son, with your dear sweet wife. For our listeners, it just came in, not our David Sloan, but his son, David Sloan. I don't know how someone could not love our son. Brother Tim wouldn't hurt anybody. He just would not hurt anybody. He's been there this October 7 years. He and his wife sold their little condo and took a good portion of that and got that church going. There are 5 little grandkids there, and God's just blessed them, and it's growing and going, and people are coming. It's so exciting to see.
Amen.
And they bought a building, and they remodeled, and they have a beautiful auditorium, and they have classrooms, and then it's grown. They can't fit them all in, so they have, he's preaching two services. And yet, you know, Brother Flood, it's hard to, he said, Dad, and we'll talk. He goes, they left the church. They left the church. How do you get over that? That discourages me, Dad. That hurts me. I love that family. I said, you'll never get over that stuff. And then some, they get a coalition. You know what I'm talking about. This family leaves, but they take two families with them. Because they need to go where they're fed. And yet, where they're going, they don't have Sunday school. They don't have Sunday night. Yeah, they're not eating. They're anorexic. There's a coalition of kings. They all get together. We're going to fight against Israel. The coalition, whatever it might be, satanic, demonic, it fights against these men of God, and that man of God, and that man of God, and that man of God, and all these men and women of God. But not only do I see a coalition of kings, I see a comforting God. Amen. Look what the Bible says, verse 6. The Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid. Because of them, for tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver all the slain before Israel. I'll take care of it. Don't be afraid. May I tell you this, that God owns every battle you face. Be not dismayed, whatever be tight, God will take care of you. Colonel Harder, God's going to take care of him. You've lived long enough, he's going to take care of him. Brother Van Dyke, He'll take care of them. God always takes care. God loves you, child of God. He'll take care of you. Amen. Well, what about Paul? Paul had his head cut off. I know God took care of him. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. There's a coalition. There's a comforting God. And then there's a commanding general. Joshua came and all the people war with him. By the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon him, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of Israel. And I want you to know that God always raises up a general to help. God raises up your Sunday school teacher. I think of the 15, 16 adult Sunday school classes we have. Every man that teaches those classes is a man of God. We're so blessed. I think of their Sunday school teachers. God's raised up your Sunday school teacher as a general to help guide and direct. I see a continual fight. Number 4, verse 12. And all the cities of those kings, and all the kings did Joshua take and smote them with the edge of the sword. It's just constant. And I see a complete obedience. Look at verse 15. And the Lord commanded Moses, and so did as Moses commanded Joshua, and so did Joshua. Left nothing undone that all the Lord commanded. Verse number 16. And the Bible says, so Joshua took all that land. And verse number 18. And Joshua made war a long time with those kings. And verse number 19. And there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel. That's an amazing verse. And you can see verse 20 and then 23. So Joshua took the whole land. And so there's a coalition of kings, there's a comforting God, there's a commanding general, there's a continual fight, and there's a complete obedience. What does that all add up to? One victory after another. You know, our Lord has given us so many victories. We've had a lot of battles, but we paid for Clyde Avenue. God gave it to us in 76. And we bought two houses, the first one for $51,000. I was down by Alum Rock making some visits yesterday, and that house didn't go by, but that house was, that we didn't have Montague Expressway. It was just a country road here. And on a Saturday morning, they had been picking that house up. And on a Saturday morning, they drove that down what is now Montague Expressway out to Alum Rock, and there it sits. It's been there all those years. We needed a parking lot. And the next house we bought for $268,000, and Brother Andy Hero got a Caterpillar tractor with those cleat wheels on them, and he tore the whole thing down. But you know, if you go over that Clyde Avenue now where that three-story building is and that parking lot, those were two houses. And God gave us those. When they said we could not buy them. And God gave us a bus ministry and a sound ministry and live stream. When we came here, we never knew anything about a live stream. And publications this year just closed their books out for June 30th, and it had the largest year of sales of all publication items in the history of the publications. And you and your workers need to be commended. And a Sunday school. And now listen to this. Victory under victory, brother. Victory under victory. 1,118 graduates from Golden State Baptist College thrust out in the ministry. 1,118. That's victory under victory. It started with buying Clyde Avenue and buying a house and buying the next house and tearing them down and building a 16 by 20 little building and then building a 4,000 and having to tear that down and tear down the auditorium to build a 32,000 square foot and then another building, 66,000 square feet of building space. Victory under victory. And now 1,118 graduates. Amen. From Golden State Baptist College. Victory under victory. We have now, you stop and think of it, North Valley School, they have over 200 full-time Christian workers that have graduated from high school and have been thrust into the ministry. Pastors, 28 of those graduates are ladies that are pastors' wives, senior pastors' wives. It's amazing. That's called victory under victory. My goal, I just kept having a goal that by the time the church is 50 years of age, we would have had 100,000 people walk the aisles of this church to get saved. And we hit COVID, and no one could come forward. But right now, without counting today, we're at 84,184 people. 84,000. Jeannie and Tish, who ever thought, Brother Skirty, who'd ever thought 84,000 people one-on-one? I'm not talking about out on the streets soul winning. I'm not talking about Eastern the Park where we just had nearly 9,000 people in attendance. I'm talking about in the church house being saved. 84,000 people. I'm talking about 19,164 people baptized. 19,000. That's what you call victory unto victory. Amen. And God's going to do it again.
Amen.
1858. In Philadelphia, there was a meeting of preachers and laymen being conducted. In the morning hours, they would preach. Many of the men would go back and their farms and care for the farms in the afternoon and then come back for the evening service. In that year of 1858, a young man came to that meeting who was a young preacher, but he was a farmer too. And he came to the meeting. And at the meeting that day, as he came, in the afternoon he went home to do his chores on his farm. That afternoon as he was shelling corn, the machinery caught his clothes and literally pulled his arm off at what they say at the roots. It just yanked his arm off of there. 5,000 men were attending this meeting in the morning and at nights. 5,000 men in Philadelphia, 1858. His father came to see him, an old preacher. He said, "Son, your preaching days are over. It looks like the Lord's going to take you home." As he lay in his home with that arm severed and pulled out by the roots. They sent word as he, believe it or not, made it through the night. They sent word, "I would know you can't come, but would you like to send us a word?" And that boy, who's a young preacher and a farmer, said, "Dad, tell my 5,000 friends, stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus."
Amen.
Within just a few moments, he was gone. That was 1858. A poem was written that says, stand up for Jesus. But in 1901, somebody put music to it. I'd like you to turn in your psalm books as we close to 455, please. Because 455, there's that second line in stanza number one. I want you to see it. And from now on, as you sing this song, it says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. Will you read this next line? Ready, begin. From victory unto victory. You know, that's what happened with Joshua. It was victory at Jericho. But just because you have a victory, don't stop. Then it was Ai, and there was a defeat. And just because you have a defeat, you don't stop. And then there's Shechem, and then Gilgal, and one city after another. And God wants you, as we prepare for his soon return, and as perhaps on this nation, unless there's a spiritual revival, it's going to get darker and darker, and wickedness is abounding. He prayed in the streets. Our president declared a whole month for sodomy month in June. On Easter Sunday, Transgender Day, what a blasphemy to our holy God from our house, the White House. And boast the fact that there's more sodomites in my cabinet than any other cabinet ever in America's history, in our sacred buildings. Make it dark. You may have some defeats and some AIs and things fall apart, but you have to live from victory unto victory. One after the God will send a, God will give you a house you can tear down for $268,000. God will give you a building and they give you 30 days to get the money. And we had just raised money and raised money and raised money. And now they say you got 30 days. Realtors are bringing people through that building. And I remember talking to Brother Sonny. I said, they're selling the building on us. I said, you can't. Saturday night, 5 o'clock, a realtor came by. And I said, what are you doing? They said, we're selling the building. I called the church that owned it. I said, sir, Monday morning, meet me at the Howard Johnson's. They tore it down on 1st Street and 101. And I said, we're going to talk about this thing. And we talked about it. I said, you can't sell it because I'll give you 30 days to get the money to buy that property. We just had a handful of people. We had just gone through a bunch of raising money for things. But God gave it in 30 days. But honey, along with those victories we've seen, we've had a lot of battles. Like last week, battle after battle after battle. We looked at all the battles that David experienced after Goliath. Whether it be with his son, our sons, our daughter, our wife, Michael, who eyed him and hated him, and Saul, who tried to kill him 3 times, and he was in the caves, and he was in the wilderness, and he was in the thickets, and he was hiding, and battle after battle after battle, but he became king. Because God gave victory after victory too. You just have to look for it. Let's sing it together as we stand. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer. Here it is, here it is. Victory unto victory. From there. And Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.